talent development in auto workshops from recognition to reward. Continuing our discussion on talent management, join passionate automotive trainer and coach Andrew Uglow as he explores the final piece of the three R's, recognition to reward. In this episode, you'll learn how to transform criticism into constructive correction, discover practical ways to implement recognition programs, and understand why budgeting time for learning is crucial for workshop success. Along the way, Andrew shares some great stories about transmission troubles and learning curves that highlight why everyone develops skills differently. I'm your co-host, Anthony Pearl, and this is the Frictionless Workshop Podcast. Let's get cranking.
When you've recognized people over a period of time, if you do need to go and say, hey, you got that wrong, it's much more powerful and better to do it if you've spent quite a bit of time investing in, hey, you did this well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that moment stands out a little bit more, and it's not a berating of them. It's these are the areas you can improve on. Let's help you.
Yeah. It becomes a correction rather than a criticism.
Yeah.
And the difference between those two things are all the difference in the world. And so if someone wants to correct me, hey, Andrew, you've been great on these things, but you missed this one. This is how you solve it. Oh, okay. Well, I can do that. I can make that correction. As opposed to, Andrew, you're a mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, forehead-slapping individual. And we just, only the fact that we can't find anyone marginally better than you, that you're still here, you know, that's, well, yeah, thanks. That'll help me perform. That'll get engagement, guaranteed. And the last one is reward. And reward comes out of the recognition. And the recognition is a management piece. If you don't deliberately put on your to-do list, I'm going to go around and recognize people who are doing the right thing. I'm going to look specifically for where things were done well, you won't do it. And so that's a skill to develop. That's a habit to develop. That's an outlook to develop. And the flow on of that is then the reward, right? So when people are rewarded, that embeds things at a psychological level. And we're not going to go into all the neurological chemistry and stuff that's involved in what's happening there. But that reward does, it can be formal. And I recommend doing formal rewards for certain things. But informal reward is arguably as, and in some cases, more important, and it doesn't have to cost money. Just simply the very fact that someone saw me do something right and go, Andrew, so thrilled that you're doing the wheel nuts correctly. That is such a reassurance to the customers and to us, keep that up. It's like, yeah, okay, I'll keep doing that because there's reward in this.
There's some businesses that do that so well. It's kind of the, you know, it's almost, you know, a simplification of it is the employee of the month, right? That's just a, it's a recognition and it's a reward for them of something. No, you don't have to in a workshop pin someone's face up on the wall and say they're employee of the month. You can if you want.
And then throw darts at them. Yeah. Oh, no, that would never happen in a workshop.
Never. But it is that kind of idea, though, isn't it? It might be an opportunity in a team meeting to reward them and in calling people out for something positive they did.
Yeah, absolutely. I often get pushback on this and people go, but they don't do anything right. Gone. Okay. I have two questions. Firstly, are you actually looking? And secondly, if it genuinely is they're doing everything wrong, can I highly recommend that you help them find a job in someone else's business and drag that business down rather than your business? You know, sell them to your opposition, you know, and let them go through the pain and anguish and frustration of having someone who's doing everything wrong and not you.
If you can swipe their talent, do a nice trade.
There you go. Maybe, and look, there are some people that working in automotive is not, it's just not for them. And for them, for the person that doesn't fit there, well, that's unpleasant. Like, that's really awful to work in a job that you hate or to work with people that you hate or to all this sort of stuff. And I recognize there's a variety of reasons why people do it, paying the bills being one of them. But like, maybe there's something else in the automotive dealership that would suit them. You know, maybe they're better at selling used cars. Maybe they're better at spare parts. Maybe they just simply need to go off and be a butcher or a tradie or a customer service representative or a brain surgeon or something. Goodness knows. Like, it just, the automotive industry might just not be for them. And so, you know, help them out.
The Frictionless Workshop podcast is brought to you by Solutions Culture. For details on how to get in touch with Andrew, consult the show notes below. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Now, back to the podcast.
I think, but just to wrap up this discussion about, you know, this whole idea of they should know that, just in terms of some practical tips, because I think, you know, you talk about doing some training in place as a good example. It's different to go and say, hey, go out and do this course. I'm going to charge the clients, you know, a few thousand dollars for you doing this course, because that's not practical. But there is some allowance that you can have, isn't there, for allowing that training of people along the way.
Absolutely. And I certainly think that this plays out with apprentices the way that we do apprentice training. So they do, with apprentice training, they do training out of place and in place. There is opportunity to improve the training in place. I think in some places people just get signed off when they don't have competence, and that is profoundly damaging for the individual first and foremost. And secondly, it doesn't help the business. It just simply doesn't. And so people end up with a piece of paper that says that they're qualified when, well, qualified versus competent are two different things. I hear, again, this is another thing I hear from technicians. It's like, well, I've got this person, I'm constantly fixing all their stuff, and why is he even in the business? It would be better off if he wasn't here, because then we don't double work, you know, and pay me extra. You know, I'm doing his job and my job. Why don't I get paid for it? So there's a couple of things that are worth considering. And I think the first chunk is to actually think about budgeting some time in your work. And you can do this on, like, maybe not for services, but for certain other jobs, you might go, you know, when we quote for this job, we're going to add 5% for learning, 5% of time. So that may or may not be charged to the customer. That might come off the business. But I'm going to argue that the customers are paying for the skill of the individual. And so at a business level, the business is facilitating or benefits from the technician's skill. And so maybe we need to, instead of just allocating all that as gross profit, maybe some of that needs to be allocated, some of that time needs to be allocated for training, and that we're going to go, well, 5% of this particular job is going to be allocated to training, and we're going to allow 10 minutes for a train in place session because Andrew hasn't done one of these before. Or maybe this is the second time Andrew's doing it and he's still not quite competent. He's okay, but, you know, and so I'll make an allowance for that instead of jumping on Andrew's back and going, come on, Andrew, everyone else is doing this in 25 minutes. Why can't you? And it's like, well, this is the second time I've ever done one of these things. I'm still figuring it out. Oh, well, that's an unreasonable expectation. Yeah, should I know? Yeah. If it's second time out, yeah, nah. Just not. And so there's a whole variety of different things that we can use around this. And this comes back to your foreman. This comes back to your senior technicians. Have they been taught how to teach people to do those micro learnings? You know, there's a whole variety of really useful, quick frameworks. You know, the watch, show, do, check. Yeah, watch me do it. Right. Now, let me explain it as I do it. Right. Now, you do it and I'll coach you through it. Right. Now, you do it and I'll come back and check. And you'll notice that that's not one time. That's four events as a way of building competence. And so this is what I'm saying. Budget the time. Because if you've got a budget for it, well now it gets allocated correctly. And there's the space for people to do learning in place, as opposed to, oh, Andrew, you took 20 minutes too long on that job. What's wrong with you? Well, I was freaking learning it. It's the first time I've done it, or it's the third time I've done it, and I'm still finding my way. The other one, of course, is we use this in training all the time, but is format. This is what we're going to do. This is why it matters. Because I think sometimes that gets left. Shut up, Andrew. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Right, quick, faster. How much longer? It's like, well, I don't understand why I'm doing it this way. And so we do what to do, why you do it, why it's important to do it like this. This is how you do it. That's usually where we go. Shut up, Andrew, and do this. Here's the how. It's like, well, okay, I'm still not sure. I don't have all the pieces here. You know, I can't figure out what this puzzle is. Okay, so I'll just do what I'm told. And then when I do it wrong because I didn't have all the pieces, they jump on me. It's like, well, that's unreasonable. And so what we're going to do, why we're going to do it, how we're going to do it. And now that we've done it, this is how we know it's right. So what's next? What follows on from that format? You Google format, the number four and the word MAT. That's the thing. So teaching people how to teach people using that methodology would be profoundly useful in a business, like crazy useful. So there's both of those sorts of things, but understanding that we're not dealing with a production line, I think is an overarching piece too. You know, we have this very linear, machine-driven expectation. Oh, they should know that. They should you know, and that's kind of underpinning that expectation is machine, you know, input processing outputs. You people do this, you know, da 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 da, very linear. And the reality is that it's not, it's human, it's organic. And anyone that's worked with anyone would know that organic is messy. It's nonlinear, it's weird. And so understanding that sometimes some people need to see things 3, 4, 5, 6 times before it sinks in, before the pieces in their brain go thunk and it makes sense. And now you're right. Now you're in a position where that person can perform. But until that point, you just got to keep at it. You know, I can think of a dozen different things that I really struggled with as a tech. You know, transmissions were a mystery to me, absolute mystery. And he kept giving me transmission work and expecting performance. And just, you know, admittedly, they knew that technician that I hated transmissions, but it would just, you know, Andrew, you're taking too long. It's because there's none of this is making any sense at all. I have no idea. You know, I'm trying to eat soup with a fork, you know. Just, I'll get there eventually, but it's not going to be fast. And so sending me along to a transmission class, I've just gone, so now I understand the what and the why. This now how makes so much more sense. And now I started to be able to do it, eat my soup with a spoon, do my transmissions more efficiently. But some of that was my attitude. I hated transmissions, hated them. I'd rather you gave me a butter knife and said, saw your leg off, because it would be less painful than having to work on transmissions.
It's so similar to, I was just thinking about, you know, the envisaging an athlete. And, you know, training for the Olympics to do the 100 meters, someone doesn't just go on the track. This is the track. This is how you start. This is where you finish. Right, now I expect you to break the 10-second barrier. You know, go.
Bang.
We set that expectation in the workplace more often than not. And we don't think of it in those terms. That athlete has taken years to get to that point where they're that good. And
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not going to be the first, second, or third attempt that they're going to get there.
Well, they could. It happens, but I'm going to argue that is not the majority of people. And so that whole concept of understanding that people need to see things more than once, and they might, certain people might need to, maybe it's just not their thing. They need to see things and be taught in micro steps, some cases. And we see this in the training classes. You know, we'll go, does everyone know how to do this? And there'll be a couple of people that don't. And you show them and they look at you. The boom gates are down, the lights are flashing, but that train's not coming. It's just, it's like, okay, no problems. Because this is one of the luxuries you have in taking people out of the work environment. It's like, okay, we didn't get it that way. Let me show you this way. Let me show you this way. Let me show you this way. And sometimes it's just simply the repetition that they go, but other times, the way I was showing them was wrong. And this is why we like different methodologies and having people in the business who have some capacity for helping people to do the micro learning, to do those steps is a worthwhile investment.
Thank you for listening to the Frictionless Workshop podcast. For details on how to get Andrew working with you and your technicians, take a look at the show notes. There's also a link to some special content you can access. I'm Anthony Pearl, reminding you to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.